May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 343. If Jesus is ours, we have a true friend, whose goodness endures the same to the end. Our comforts may vary, our frames may decline, we cannot miscarry, our aid is divine. Hymn 343.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is Paul's epistle to the Philippians and chapters 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 3 and 4. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we do need thee now to draw near and to abide with us, for as those that journeyed to Emmaus desired, and we would too, that thou would abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Oh, we pray that we may be favoured like they were, for thou didst go in and abide with them. Oh, may we be favoured, Lord, to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both within these walls and within our hearts. We need thee, dear Lord, to empty us of everything of self and of this world, that thou wilt fill us with thyself. Nor we would come desiring, like those Greeks did of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. And oh, may that be our fervent desire this evening, that we may be favoured like those dear disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, when they saw no man save Jesus only. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and bless our souls. Leave us not, Lord, nor forsake us, O God of our salvation. Oh, we pray that thou wilt grant us a breath of real prayer. We come, Lord, with all our cares and burdens. They're too great for us, Lord, but oh, they're not too great for thee. No, we would be found casting them all upon thee, and to leave them at thy dear feet. And oh, may we prove what the dear poet said, he has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end. Oh, we pray that we may have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people, that we may be truly taught our vileness well, the need of thy mercy, the need of thy pardoning love. The Lord's sin is mixed with all we do, with all we think or say. And how we need that continual washing, dear Lord, from all our sin and from all uncleanness. Oh, we would be found as beggars at thy feet, begging for mercy, begging to know our pardon signed and our peace with God. Oh, do grant to us that broken heart, Lord, and contrite spirit thou dost give to thy dear people. And oh, may we be blessed with that humble repentance that thou dost give, that repentance that needeth not to be repented of. And oh, we would come begging and pleading for mercy. and to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. We would pray with dear David of old when he said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And O Lord, how we need it. Thou knowest the sins that trouble our hearts. One said, "Sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane." Knowest those that are burdened tonight and sin-sick souls, who come and seal thy everlasting love in their soul, and that sweet pardon they long for. O Lord, do strengthen our little faith, we pray. Give us that faith to believe, that faith to look to Thee, that faith to trust in Thee. And oh, do come, dear Lord, and undertake for us. We need Thee too, every moment, every hour. For Thou knowest how poor and helpless and weak and feeble we are. But, O Lord, may we draw from that blessed strength there is in Thee, that blessed fullness that abides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. O Lord, Thou knowest how Thy dear people have come this evening. Oh, my burdened sinners lose their load, and downcast souls rejoice. Knowest those that have got heavy burdens, Lord, heavy concerns, do undertake for them. And oh, do supply their every need. Those, dear Lord, that may be troubled on every side, do appear for them. And deliver them from the trouble. And may these things, Lord, all be sanctified, and may there be much teaching and profit in them, that our souls may be edified, and that we may be blessed with those spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, do help us, dear Lord, to lean hard upon Thee, to trust Thee where we cannot trace Thee. Remember the dear young ones here, the dear children, those that are at home caring for their little ones, who visit them in their home where they are. And oh, manifest Thyself to them. Remember the young ones in all the steps of life's journey. Help the dear parents to commit them to Thee and give them that wisdom in the bringing up of their offspring. And we pray that Thou wilt raise up from among them a seed that shall serve Thee and a generation to call Thee the Redeemer blessed. And may it please Thee, dear Lord, to raise up those that shall be useful in their day and generation, even here in this cause of truth and throughout Zion. And oh, may there be many born again in these dark days. Oh, that Thou wast awakened, Lord, many sinners round to come and fill the place. May it be so in this village. And may be those that shall begin to be in want, and to say, "I will return to my Father's house, where there is meat and to spare." Oh, we beg of Thee to work, Lord. May there be a real appetite for the truth, a real hunger and thirst found in us each, Lord. And, oh, do put it in those that as yet know thee not, that they may hunger and thirst after thee and thy righteousness. And, oh, Lord, do come and fill thee hungry with living bread. May there be a sweet feeding time upon thee and upon thy precious truth. Remember, dear Lord, those that are afflicted, those laid aside, and those that have their afflictions. We pray that thou wilt make each bed in each affliction. Thou wilt sanctify all these things, Lord, to thy people. And may there be, out of that which seems so bitter, made sweet. To dry up the tears of those that weep and mourn. We think of the mourners, Lord, and those that have lost loved ones. Many have been taken in this year. We pray for thee to appear. And that the death of one and another may be the means of others being brought into concern. And to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we need thee to appear. And oh, do sanctify these losses both to the churches, Lord, and to the families. We would pray for guidance to be given to us each in all the steps of providence, the steps of grace. And we would pray with the psalmist, guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And may we be prepared, Lord, for that great day when flesh and blood shall fall. Oh, that we may have on the wedding garment, waiting for thy coming. Be fully prepared. Lord, we beg of thee to make us right and keep us right. Remember any that may have got impossible things, that they may be given faith to believe that there is nothing impossible with thee. Or too hard for them. May they see thee work and work wondrously. O Lord, who bless our dear aged friends, there are many throughout Zion that feel the mud wall cottage shake. We pray that thou wilt favour them, that at evening time it shall be light. They might have a special blessing in their closing days, and be able to crown thee Lord of all. Nor we do desire a heart to praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy many mercies. We're not worthy of the least of them, and we would seek for a heart of true thanksgiving for all thy goodness and mercy to us, unworthy as we are. We pray for the deacons here, that thou wilt guide them and direct them and bless them, Lord, and give them all needed wisdom and grace in all things. And to add to the church precious souls yet, if it would please thee. May there be yet a moving of the waters here and in our own flock. For we do rejoice when Zion's offspring come. As sheep are gathered to the fold and left no more to roam. Oh, we beg of thee to work. And oh, may it please thee, dear Lord, to grant us each grace to humble ourselves, that we may ever be as nothing. And the dear Lord Jesus, the one thing that is needful. Who have mercy upon Zion, and pour thy spirit out upon our own flock at home, Lord, and upon the churches. And may we yet see better days and a revival of thy work. Remember thy servants, to grant them gracious help and liberty of those that minister this evening and have through the day. And may thy word have free course and be glorified. And may it be made life and power to thy dear people. Lord, we would remember the nation and beg of thee to appear in all the solemn state we're in, and how we need thee to turn us, Lord, from serving man and serving Satan to serve thee, the only true God. Oh, we beg of thee to appear. Preserve to us our Protestant heritage and constitution, thy holy word and holy day. May all the enemies of the truth be put down. Oh, may we see yet the wonders God alone can do. Remember those in California in the midst of the fires that are raging there. Preserve and protect thy people. May these solemn things be a voice to many, Lord. They may flee the wrath to come. Undertake for all that are oppressed and persecuted, those at the ends of the earth. Oh, do make bare thine arm and work. Now, Lord, we would not multiply words, but oh, we pray thou wilt grant to us that help in singing thy praises, and may it be done to thy honour and glory. And oh, do anoint one to speak a few things in thy holy name. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. And may thy precious name be exalted, dear Lord, and our souls be profited, and the flesh be laid in the dust. Empty, send us not away. We ask these poor ramblings in the precious name of Jesus, seeking the forgiveness of all our sin, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 335. O angry bosom, hush, nor discontented grow, but at thy own sad folly blush, which breedeth all the woe. Hymn 335. Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's Epistle of the Philippians and chapter 4 and the first verse. Paul's Epistle of the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. This was a wonderful testimony that the dear Apostle Paul could give concerning those he wrote to in the church at Philippi. And in the previous chapter, we find him giving the church there a very clear testimony of what the Lord had done for him, how he had brought him from nature's darkness into God's marvellous light, and what a sweet testimony it was that he could proclaim to them. It was all the Lord's work from beginning to end. And beloved friends, this is what we need. All our works will fail. All our works will come to nothing, but the work of God in the hearts of his dear people and throughout his church will stand when everything else fails. And the reason why the apostles' religion stood was because it was of God from beginning to end. And why I name it is because in our text he starts the fourth chapter with this word, therefore. That refers to what he had spoken in the previous chapters, and particularly in chapter 3. And may we lay to heart what he was enabled to speak to them. First of all, how the Lord had wonderfully stripped him and emptied him of all the Pharisaic religion that he had in his unregenerate days. And secondly, how the Lord had given him such fervent desires that we read of this evening. And what desires they were, weren't they? He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then this beautiful word, that I may know him. Is that your fervent desire and mine tonight? That I may know him. It will be personal, you see. He wanted to know the dear Redeemer as his Saviour, his all and in all, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. But then, thirdly, we find the dear Apostle speaking of how he was to continue and to endure. And he says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, that spoke really of the path that he was having to walk, pressing. I love that couplet of the hymn on that sacred subject. If thou press on, the crowds will fly. And you see, as the dear woman pressed through the crowds, didn't she, to get to the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, so the child of God has to press. And he commences chapter 4 with that beautiful word, therefore. Therefore, seeing these things. Now, the Lord knows in your heart and pathway and life to know the things that you personally, you know in your soul by divine teaching like the apostle did, and then how you're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But then there is another solemn thing. He reminds them of how they should walk and how they should live. Nevertheless, he says this, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. You see, the apostle set the blessed pattern of how they should live, how they should walk. They should be nothing before the Lord, that he might be the all and in all, and they should be pressing, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. But in conclusion to this, he, in this solemn yet blessed chapter, he gives them a further word of warning. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Oh, you think how solemn. And you know, with that love he had, which I want to look at in a moment in our text, for this church and people at Philippi, he wasn't afraid to warn them. You know, every God-anointed servant of the Lord should continually warn of the dangers. And here he makes it so clear, for many of whom I've told you often, it wasn't just a one-off thing. He was continually warning them. And now tell you, even weeping, thy, the enemies of the cross of Christ. And you say, what was so seldom and so searching, though many of them that made a profession, and many had spoken good things in days past, but now they were walking as enemies to the cross of Christ. And how close we can come. We have the solemn case, of course, of Judas in the Gospels, and how he denied the dear Redeemer, and how he betrayed him. And then he tells them the end of such characters, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They got a religion that was only earthly, never of God. You see, what the Lord begins, he will carry on. And he made that clear in chapter 1 of this blessed epistle, didn't he? That he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. But then he draws them away from all this with a blessed word. For our... And may it be so concerning us each. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour. What about your conversation and mine? Is it just of earthly things? Is it just what we have done? Or is it things pertaining unto God and godliness? For our conversation. And you know, if ever a man loved the dear Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul did, and all his conversation was taken up on what the dear Redeemer had done for him and in him, and what he'd accomplished at Calvary and suffering, bleeding, dying, and rising again on the third day. And then he says, who should change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, seeing all that, then he brings it right home to them. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. It's a very deep and profound word that he speaks to them. And yet how precious and how vital. My brethren. You see, in the church there at Philippi, there were those that were very dear to him. Dearly beloved, he says. This wasn't a natural love that he had to them. There's no doubt he showed natural love to them. But it was purely spiritual. In Christ, he loved them so, in the dear Redeemer, so he could call them dearly beloved. Such was the union, such was the closeness that he had to them. Because he could walk with them in the things of God and they could walk with him. They were of one mind, of one heart, of one soul. All their desire, you think of Lydia, you can think of the jailer that were in this church and others. All they wanted was Christ. Nothing else would satisfy them. Think of what we sing in the hymn, "Give me Christ or else I die." This was the language of the dear apostle, and this was the language of those in the church at Philippi. So he could well say, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for. Well, let us look at these 3 points in this first clause. He says, my brethren. The word of God tells us, and I did quote it this afternoon, that we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know, one of the things the Lord gives to his dear people when he begins his work of grace within them is a real love to the Lord, a real love to his dear people, a real love to the truth. My brethren. And he could truly say this, my brethren, because he knew what it was to be one of the same family that they were and that he was. And that family was God's dear people. With that family. There is a family on earth whose father fills the throne, and thou a seed of heavenly birth to men, their little known. My brethren. And with dear Timothy and Titus and many others of those dear sons he had in the faith, they were his brethren. He could walk with them in the things of God. He could minister. He ministered the same things as they ministered. It was a Christ-exalting ministry, and it laid the sinner in the dust. There was no room for anything of the flesh. And there isn't, you know, if we are brought to the feet of the dear Lord Jesus, there's no room for anything of this world. There's no room for anything of the flesh. It's Christ and him crucified to be the theme. My brethren, dearly beloved. They were so dearly beloved because he had travailed for them. They were beloved to him. They were part of him. Because he travailed in soul for their souls. And he could well say, dearly beloved, those of us that are married and favoured with godly wives, godly husbands, we can truly say concerning them, they're dearly beloved to us, dearly beloved. They're one with us, you see. We walk together. Well, as the hymn writer say, brethren, let us walk together in the bonds of love and peace. Can it be a question whether brethren should from conflict cease? 'Tis in union, faith and joy and love increase. Dearly beloved. You see, these souls, not only was the apostle speaking to them as his dear children, spiritually dearly beloved, but they were so beloved by the Lord. We think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. Really, there's two sides to this. You think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. How did she speak to the dear Lord Jesus? How did she refer to him? She refers to him as my beloved. And that's what he was to her. How did he refer to her? Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. She was his beloved. There was a wonderful union, you see. And one desires that we might know more and more of this spiritually in our souls, and that we may know more and more of it among us as people, God's dear children, real pulling together as dearly beloved children, ever desiring to honour the Lord, to keep his ways, his precepts, his ordinances. Therefore, my beloved, therefore, brethren beloved and long for. You see, he knew what it was to long for them. You know, you get to, in courtship or even in marriage, there's a longing one to be with the other because there's that wonderful oneness and union. And you young ones that may be seeking a husband, seeking a wife, you long for the Lord to provide for you. You long for him to appear for you. And it may be in answering your prayers, you long for the answer like Hannah did in longing for her Samuel. Well, the apostle, you know, as he went down to Philippi to preach, the Lord had so laid in his heart this longing for them that they might be blessed, they might be filled with his love, that they might know their pardon signed and their peace procured. And he longed for them, for the blessing. What he desired for his own soul, he desired for them, because they were part of him. It's like a pastor over a flock, you know. The pastor is one of the flock, and the flock are his. There's that wonderful union. And so it is in a far greater way with the Lord and his dear people. So he says, and what sweet language it is. It's a word that I trembled really to begin to bring before you, but it so seemed to lay in my heart. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown. It almost seemed as though, as he writes this closing chapter to these dear souls in Philippi, that he wanted first of all to press home to them that wonderful union he felt to them. And secondly, he verily felt in his soul such love to them that he could express these vital things, you see. Dearly beloved, long for, my joy and crown. Why were they his joy? Well, because he'd seen through his ministry to them the joy the Lord had brought them into. He'd set them free from all the bondage of sin. He'd set them free from all the onslaughts of Satan the Lord had through his the apostles' ministry. It was his joy to see them in such a blessed state. Because remember, you know, this church in Philippi was a special church to the apostle. Oh, it was. Because the Lord had so used him there. And it was his joy to see the Holy Spirit working among them. My joy, he says. I often think when I read this word joy of what dear Mr. Clement Wood used to say about him. He said, what does it mean, beloved friends? You take each letter separately, and so many of you may know what I'm going to say, but he said, you take the first letter, J, of the joy. What does it mean? He said, it means Jesus first. That's what it means. Jesus first. Have you and have I, like these in Philippi, got a Jesus first religion. We love our wives, we love our husbands, we love our families, but is Jesus first the one thing that is needful? Is he your joy? And all joy flows from the dear Redeemer. The joy meant Jesus. And you lay that to heart and me tonight. And it was so in Philippi. The Lord was, Jesus was very precious to them there. In their hearts. He was their only hope. All their salvation was in him. And the very name of Jesus is precious to sinners. We sing, don't we? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. The second letter, dear Mr. Wood used to say, it means others. Now, when the apostle spoke of it, what the Lord had done for him, it wasn't to lift himself up in any way. It was all to the glory of God. And he desired that every one of those in Philippi, all the others, might receive the same blessing. And two, we should always think of others first. Oh, we should. Do we go, as we tried to look at this morning, the second mile in thinking of others? You know, I often think when affliction comes upon us and or some trial, I immediately think, well, you know, there are others that are far worse off than I am. And far more afflicted. And far more in trouble. And when you look at the Lord Jesus, he looked at all those while he was here upon the earth. And how his love was toward them. Oh, it was. And his greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And what does he say? Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You think of others, you see. We live in a day where so many think of self first. Well, the last letter, the J, means yourself. So we need to keep this in right order, you see. Jesus first, then others, then ourselves. And you know, that's a wonderful thing when we are able to do that. And this is what the apostle did here in Philippi. Jesus first, then these here in the church in Philippi, and then himself. He felt himself as nothing. Says, doesn't he, on one occasion, though I be nothing. And he was willing to. And it's a good place when we're willing to be nothing. And when we're nothing, we won't be looking at everybody else's faults. It'll be our own heart. But then he says, and crown, and I must hasten, and crown. You know, we sometimes read that beautiful psalm at the end of the year 65, and in it, it says this, he crowneth the year with his goodness. And when often we come to the close of the year, we look back and see the things the Lord has crowned, where he's given answers to prayer, where he's given times of blessing, they're times of crowning. It's like David of old, you know. All those, he was anointed by Samuel. He had to wait years before his crowning. That the crowning was the completion of it all. That he was king of Israel and of Judah, of all Israel. the crowning of it. And you think, as we come to the end of the year, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord crowns the year with something special, maybe for our souls or for in the church. Well, here in Philippi, the Lord had made these dear people his crown. And what he meant was this. The Lord had so blessed them under his ministry. They were a wonderful crown, and the Lord had sent him to preach. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. How many times when over the years I've stood at the pool to baptize the Lord's dear children, and you know, I've had to say many times in my heart, this is, Lord, one of the crowns. The crowning of our exercise, the crowning of answers to the prayers that have gone forth, the crowning of the Lord had so used the word and used the ministry. So he says concerning them, and think of dear Lydia in particular, and then the jailer as well. They were his crown, they were. What a seal it was to his ministry. The blessings of heaven descended upon them. Well, I've scratched the surface of this first part. Much could be said on each of these points, and I'll leave them for your meditation, but then he says this, so stand fast in the Lord. Now, as he'd addressed them in this loving, gracious, precious way of what he felt concerning them in Philippi, he gives them this sacred and yet solemn and searching exhortation. So stand fast in the Lord. Well, I want to look at it in a few ways, but I'll be brief. Firstly, for us to stand fast, we must be on a good foundation. Now, the apostle himself could speak this from experience because the Lord had put him on a sure foundation. And what foundation was that? Christ, the eternal rock on which the church is built. All the apostles' hope, what about yours and mine, was upon the dear Redeemer. Oh, it was. On that rock, you see, Christ Jesus. In looking at it naturally, for us to stand fast or stand firm, we need a good foundation, don't we? You try and stand fast on a muddy bank, you cannot, can you? You try and stand fast on a quicksand, you can't. You want a good foundation to stand fast. And you know, the apostle had got a good foundation, and so are these in the church at Philippi. But he warns them of this. So stand fast. They've got to have a good foundation to their religion. And that must be Christ, the eternal rock. If we stand on any other foundation, it is sure to fail. If we stand on ourselves or our own opinions or what we think, it'll fail. It's not standing fast. What have we got to stand fast in? Well, let's look at it. One is this, in the divine doctrines of God's word. Never deviate from doctrine, poor soul. It's the backbone of all real religion. Oh, it is. And stand fast on those doctrines that are couched in God's holy word. And then stand fast against likeness. We live in a day where the denomination is torn between two things. Firstly, the worldliness that's creeping in. And this is where we've got to stand fast against it all. Secondly, from self-righteousness, the other side. I love that word of the Apostle Paul, and may we be given grace when he wrote to the Thessalonian church to ever stand fast on it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And you see, that is steering the middle course right the way through. Not deviating to the left or to the right. And when this text dropped in, it so rested upon me, stand fast. How? In the Lord. Not in yourself, not what somebody else thinks. In the Lord. In Him. Because in Him, there's everything you need to stand fast in. He'll give you grace to, he'll give you strength to, he'll give you help to. Stand fast. We read together at Stockfold this afternoon that sixth chapter of Ephesians. And I felt it's quite confirming as we read it together. The dear apostle in writing to the Ephesian church, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then he says this, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But the thing was in that, you see, stand fast. And the Lord was to give them grace to stand fast. And we find too the apostle in writing to the Philippians. He says in chapter 1, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And then he says that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, we live in an evil day, and none of us know what we may have to endure in the days to come. But may the Lord give us that grace to stand fast. But a word of warning, not stand fast in a hard and rebellious way. Stand fast in a tender, humble way. I often think of some of the old godly ladies, you know, in my early days in the ministry. They were very well taught and they stood fast in the churches, silently, humbly walking. But when it came to the truth and God's holy word, they would not deviate in any way. They were humble walkers and not ready talkers. So he says, and may we take heed to it, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The apostle couldn't bear the thought of them wandering from the Lord, deviating from the Lord, turning from the truth. His one desire was they should stand fast in the Lord. And as we humbly trust we can say this tonight, this is our desire for us each here, that we may be enabled. Whatever you may be faced with in work, at school, college, wherever it be, in our little denomination, what a mercy there are few that are willing to stand fast. And you know, the Lord will honour them. Oh, he will. He did honour the church in Philippi by standing fast. And the Lord honoured the apostle. You think of the times he was put in prison. You think of the times the dear apostle was beaten. But he stood fast. They couldn't get him to move on the vital things of God. He stood fast. Why? Because he got on the whole armour of God. And a word of warning there. There's no armour for the back. You know, I've often thought of that, you know. You read it closely in that chapter, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, there's the whole armour of God, but there's nothing to shield the back. So there's no going back. The only way is to go forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And those that stand fast in the Lord will honour them. Like he did Ruth. I think it's a beautiful word. What Boaz said to her, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, in whom thou art come to trust. And you look how Ruth stood against all the things of Moab, her sister-in-law going back. But she stood, and she stood close by Naomi, and by Naomi's God. Well, I must leave it because of the time. May the Lord bless his word and forgive anything amiss. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £755. And at our Thanksgiving services yesterday, the collections for Oakington Chapel Building Fund amounted to £1,920, for both of which we are truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening if he is able. Mr. Burgess, next Lord's Day, and he will, God willing, address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 326. Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. Hymn 326.
come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Do forgive now anything that's been amiss. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.